Welcome to week 71 of the Two Guys Into Fridays podcast. My name is Steven. That's over there in my computer is Travis.
Hello, Steven.
Hey, and we are a TGIF podcast. We like to talk about what was going on TGIF 30 years ago, exactly as it aired. And these are all episodes that would have aired when, Travis?
These would have aired on January 25th.
1991.
Yep. Yes.
A couple other things. Thank you to Drew for the theme song this week.
Thank you, Drew.
And make sure you're following us on all social media at TGIFcast. I think we're on YouTube.
We're not TGIFcast though, but
you can definitely find us by still searching Two Guys Into Fridays.
Yeah, you can find us.
Definitely find it that way. What else is going on?
I don't know.
So we do like to look at what was going on in the world 30 years ago. And I pulled up a couple news stories. Let's see how important these things are. January 22nd, 1991, the cholera epidemic began in Peru with its first known sufferer, totaling 300,000 people over the next 12 months are going to get infected by it.
Infected or died?
Infected. That seems low, right?
I mean,
compared to current day COVID numbers?
Yeah, if you had brought this up like a year ago, we would have been like, oh yeah, that's a lot. Now it's like yesterday. That just happened yesterday.
So that happened. And then also on the next day, January 23rd, 1991, the world's largest oil spill, I don't know if it's still the world's largest, but at that point it was the world's largest, caused by embattled Iraqi forces in Kuwait.
So was this on land, this oil spilled, or was it in the water?
I don't know. I didn't look up that much. You want me to look it up?
I don't know.
123. Now I'm looking it up. 91 oil spill. Gulf War oil spill was one of the largest oil spills in history.
Uh-huh.
Iraqi forces allegedly began dumping oil into the Persian Gulf to stop a United States water landing on their shores.
Oh, wow. That's a
so that was the attack, like the block attack. Wow. Let's just dump 4 million barrels.
I don't think that's as much as it sounds like.
No?
I don't think so.
It's 480,000 meters cubed.
That's a lot, but I think in the grand scheme of oil, 4 million barrels sounds a lot more than it is.
I mean, it's one of the world's largest. I don't think it's small.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not an oil expert.
4 million barrels seems like a lot.
I don't know.
All right. Well, that happened. What about movies and music for the week? Home Alone still number one?
Still Home Alone. Yeah. Home Alone is number one.
We got a new song though, right? Is that what you told me last week?
Yeah, we do. We do have a new song. It is Love Will Never Do Without You by Janet Jackson. So this is like the third or fourth, at least, from Janet Jackson. And this is a song I remember. Like,
is it a slower one? No? Is it dancey or slow?
I mean, it's slower, but it's not like
super not a ballad.
Slow. Yeah, it's more of just like a pop like song. It's good. It's the one that she's like on the beach. I think Tyrese might be in the video, or
Tyson Beckford.
I think it is Tyson Beckford.
One of those.
I don't know. Gotcha. Yeah, one of those two.
One of those two handsome models.
Like, yeah, totally ripped dudes. But this is a song that I think most people would remember from her.
Speaking of ripped dudes, we got some on this episode of the show.
Oh, we've got some.
Not me and you. Definitely not me and you. Or definitely not me. Yeah. You might be ripped now. I don't know.
I'm trying to see. I don't think it might not have been either of those two dudes. It might have just been some random dancer guy, because the Wikipedia page doesn't list either of them.
I thought it was a little before their time.
Oh, wait. Jamon Hunson. He's in it. Maybe that's who I was thinking of.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know, man. Some ripped dude.
I know we had one birthday this week, right?
Oh, we've got a big birthday this week.
I saw the tweet.
I tweeted, yep, Jody Sweetin. Happy birthday, Jody. Her birthday was Tuesday, the 19th. So happy birthday.
We know you're listening, and if you can fit us in between your Black Lives Matters protests, you can come on the show. It'd be great.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Because that's what she's doing every day now, it seems like.
Hey, I mean, if I had free time, I'd probably be doing more of that. So good for her.
What else? Anything else before we get into the episodes kind of this week?
Nothing. Nothing else. No other birthdays. Nothing to report on. So let's talk Full House.
Yeah. So if you listened last week, not a normal week. This week we've got Full House, and then we have a New Kids on the Block. I forgot what they call it. Wildest Dreams special. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's like New Kids on the Block live at MGM, Disney Wildest Dreams.
So we do start off, though, 8 o'clock. It's Full House. This is Season 4, Episode 16. The name of the episode is Stephanie Got Framed. I think they were going for a big week on TGIF this week. A couple huge episodes.
I mean, this is a monumental episode. Monumental episode.
So it does start off with a cute Michelle clip. We've got Michelle brushing her teeth. It's a quick one, though. She calls for her dad so he can pick her up when it's time to spit the water into the sink. And then she says, thank you very much. And then he says, just doing my job. And that's the whole entire cute Michelle clip.
Quick, cute. They got better things to do this week.
So after a theme song, we come back. Back to Michelle. She's in her bedroom now. She's trying to figure out how to play with a yo-yo. Can't really do it. DJ comes in. And at this point, too, DJ has a little gift
for her. Hey, how you were trying to do some yo-yo stuff a couple of months ago. How does that work out for you? Are you still...
Like, am I picking it up every day and practicing?
No. Have you learned any new tricks?
I mean, I can do a couple things.
That's cool. I used to yo-yo a lot when I was in high school. It was fun.
High school?
Yeah.
Okay. So DJ's got a gift for Michelle. It's her old piggy bank. And Michelle, I guess she's kind of excited about it. But especially once DJ tells her that she can save her money in it and she can just pretty much go up to people and ask them for money. And if she's cute enough, they will just give her money to put in her piggy bank.
And the way that she explains it is it's feeding the pig. So you feed the pig with the coins.
So we go downstairs. Joey and Danny are down there. They're playing chess. I don't even know if Joey actually knows how to play because Danny does a couple moves and then Joey just thinks he's playing checkers and just starts jumping over all of the pieces on Danny's side of the board.
Well, right. Danny's move is very slow and he thinks about it and he really strategizes. And like you said, Joey's just like click, 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 click. And that's it.
So Stephanie gets home at this point too, and she has a letter from her teacher that she doesn't really want her dad to see because her teacher is recommending that she go and get an eye exam. She thinks that Stephanie might need glasses.
Right, and Steph doesn't want these glasses. So Joey, to prove that she needs them, has her actually read the letter, and she has to get like within inches of it in order to read it.
Michelle comes in at this point too, asking people to please feed her piggy, and I think... she's a little successful, right? I think Joey gives her some money, maybe her dad too.
Well, Joey gives her some pennies and then she's like, no, I want some quarters. And Joey's like, talk to your dad. And then Danny, I don't think we actually see Danny give her any money at this point, but I'm sure he will.
So from here we go upstairs to Becky and Jesse. Oh no, they're in the kitchen.
They're in the kitchen, yeah.
And they're talking about the wedding, things that need to be done. And the big thing that needs to be done is Joey has not named a best man yet, and Becky is pushing that he go ahead and do this.
Right. Well, one of the last thing that needed to be done before that was deciding whether the waiter should wear white gloves, which I didn't know was a decision that had to be made when it comes to weddings, but evidently it is. And then I also wanted to note that the shirt, I'm pretty sure the shirt that Jesse is wearing, he borrowed from Eddie Winslow, because it's the same exact style of shirt that I always talk about. It's like denim, but with these crazy flourishes. Oh, this one had like I'm almost.
You think they're the same size? I think Eddie might be a little bigger than John Stamos.
I think Eddie might be a little bit bigger, but this shirt also looked big on Jesse.
Okay.
I would almost bet money that this is the exact same shirt that we've seen Eddie in before that I've commented on.
So of course, though, while this whole best man thing's going on, Jesse is not really ready to make the decision. Like, he doesn't want to have to tell Joey and Danny that one of them and not the other is going to be the best man at his wedding.
And I mean, when, you know, this whole thing comes to a resolution at the end, but I don't understand why he, from the beginning, he just didn't pick both of them.
I mean, it's odd to have two best men at a wedding.
Is it?
It's not a normal thing.
Well, I mean, obviously it's not a normal thing, but is it really that big of a deal?
Maybe. Becky's like, you know what? Call him in here. You're going to do it right now. You're going to name one of them. So they both come in there. And he kind of gets to the point. He picks Joey, and, Joey's excited, of course. And of course, Danny is a little upset about this whole thing.
But he's very, very nice about it. He does a very good job of being happy for Joey and Jesse.
But it's also very obvious that he does not like the decision.
Well, I think he's sad, but I think he does I think he takes it well, even though he's upset about it.
Is this where he also tells Danny that he does get the opportunity to be head usher, though?
He does. He does inform him that he will be the head usher.
So from here, a little later now, we go to Danny. He's singing and playing the guitar. I didn't write down what song it was, but it's some kind of like sad song.
Tom Dooley is the name of the song. I think it's just like a old sad ballad.
Jesse asks Danny if he's upset about the whole best man thing. And I don't think Danny actually like says it, but he like continues to play like sad songs. And you can see on his face that he's upset.
Yeah, he's definitely upset.
DJ comes home. She's got a new friend that I don't think we've seen yet on the show, right?
We have not, no.
So her name's Julie, and Julie's also talking about her cousin Steve and that he is like following them home, and they need to hide because they do not like Steve.
Right. So what we learn here about Steve is that he's in town from Chicago for a science fair, and like you said, it just won't leave him alone. He keeps following around him and bugging him.
So there's a knock at the door, and this is where we find out. We have our crossover episode. Steve Urkel is now in the Full House universe.
The worlds collide.
Danny and Jesse start talking to Steve. I think the girls had already gone in like the kitchen or upstairs from this point. So it's Danny, Jesse,
yeah, the girls had run into the kitchen. Yeah, the girls had run into the kitchen. So you're right. It's just the Danny, Jesse, Steve.
So they're talking to him. You get your normal like Steve Urkel lines. And then Jesse kind of quickly offers his help to make Steve Urkel a little cooler because he thinks he has some tips for him.
Right. So he, much like last episode where he taught Michelle how to strut, now he teaches Urkel how to strut. And yep, we get a lot of, in this scene, a lot of like the characters introducing their characters to each other. Like, I'm Steve Urkel. This is how I act. I'm Danny. This is how I act. I am Jesse. This is how I act. Kind of motif.
So after Jesse gives Steve his tips for walking, Steve actually gives Jesse some tips for walking, shows him how to like stand the way he does with his hands and his suspenders. And Jesse ends up doing like the Steve Urkel strut across the living room floor.
Right. It is like the Urkel walk.
And then after this, they share some stories back and forth. I think Urkel is trying to tell him like his birth story and stuff. And then Joey and Stephanie get home at this point.
Right. Jesse quickly, as Urkel starts to tell the birth story, Jesse quickly like ushers him into the kitchen with DJ and Julie to get rid of him out of there. And that's when Steph comes in.
So, of course, she's back from the optometrist. I think that's the right word, right? Yeah. And
optometrist.
They determine that or they show off that Stephanie has some new glasses. Her teacher was right. She needed glasses and she has now received her first pair.
She does. And they're, I guess, normal for that era? I don't know.
Well, I think they show other people in the episode with glasses, and they're not like as like thick rimmed, thick glass like Stephanie's is. Hers are a little nerdy, I would say.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I know Jesse shows off his glasses. He's like, I need to read, and his look completely different than hers.
They're big though, they're just not thick.
So Stephanie's upset. She goes upstairs, shows Comet her glasses. Comet, of course, the wonderful acting dog that he is, like hides his face or something to show that he doesn't like it. Yeah. And she feels like, she says she's the biggest geek in the third grade at this point. Then they do this like fisheye shot of her looking in the mirror. She gasps when she sees herself looking in the mirror, quickly takes him off, and we have our sad Stephanie for this episode.
Right. She is convinced that she is going to be the biggest geek in school.
From here they show DJ and Julie. It's Julie, right? Julie or Julia?
Yeah. And Julie. This is a little bit later. Yeah.
So they're running into the bedroom. They think that they've lost Steve Urkel, that he's not following them, but it turns out he's actually already in the room when they get there. And, of course they're shocked by that. And, Stephanie though, she comes in and she says that she just wants to be alone because she's still upset about this whole glasses thing.
Well, before Steph comes in, Michelle walks in, and Michelle and Steve have a moment and where they're talking to each other. And this to me was a huge moment because it's two of the most like iconic characters of TGIF, like meeting each other for the first time. And it feels like a big deal. It feels like a big deal to have Michelle Tanner and Steve Urkel in the same room talking to each other. I don't know if you feel that way, but I thought it was.
I didn't even write it in my notes. That's how much I felt that way.
Well, I thought it was a huge deal, and it felt.
Did they say like some of their like classic lines to each other back and forth? I feel like they might have.
Well, she asked him like, "Why does he sound like Mickey Mouse?"
That's right.
And he says, "Because I'm from Chicago," which is a really deep reference that like I didn't even get. I saw like why that's a reference.
Oh, why is that a reference? I don't get that either.
Because Walt Disney is from Chicago.
Oh.
And so that's the reference. Like no what
a,
normal.
What
person.
A bad joke.
Well, deep cut. That's like a Dennis Miller joke. But the I don't know. Like this whole episode, I was really nervous that it was just going to be kind of, it wasn't going to click. But like seeing these characters interact with each other, I thought was a big deal, and it felt like a big deal to me. But,
okay, so this is when Stephanie comes in now.
Yes, she does.
She's saying that she wants to be alone. Everyone kind of leaves the room except for Steve Urkel, because you know, I mean,
well, this is what
he's
I
never
even
really met her, but he stays in the room.
Urkel ushers the rest of them out of the room. He scoots DJ and Michelle and Julie out of the room, and then he decides,
"Hey, girls,
that he's
I can handle this."
Yeah, I got this.
So Stephanie, first Steve asks Stephanie what's wrong, and she tells him that she just got her first pair of glasses, and she's worried that she's going to feel like a nerd in class. And Steve, of course, gives her some advice, and then teaches her the trick is you've got to laugh with them before they laugh at you.
Yes. I don't know if Steve is the best role model for trying to convince someone that they're not going to be a geek by wearing glasses.
But at the same time, he's been through it all.
He has been through it all. And he handles, like, I'll say this forever. He handles bullies as good as you can. Like in his situation, he is phenomenal when it comes to like dealing with people who pick on him. So
yeah. And I think it's just because of experience. I mean, he's been through it so many times that he's kind of figured out, this is how you deal with it. They will either stop bothering you, or it's going to get you to a point where it doesn't bother you. Either they're going to stop trying, or it's not going to bother you anymore.
Exactly. And the other thing I noted about this scene is that when Steve is talking to Stephanie, they're literally 3 inches apart, like their face. He is so close to her when he's talking to her. And I'm like, why is he yelling in her
face?
Yeah,
I wonder if it was like something with like the director wanted the shot where you can like see their glasses next to each other. I don't know. Something.
Maybe. But did you notice that
no,
they were just
like
face to face? Oh man, it was like, why? Why are you doing that?
I guess it's like that mirror effect, like her looking in a mirror, her looking at Steve,
maybe,
kind of thing. I don't know. But here we go downstairs. Jesse is talking to Danny, and he tells Danny that, you know what, Danny, I think I made the wrong choice. I'm going to call in Joey. And it seems like he's going to tell Joey that he's going to make Danny the best man at this point. Like, change his decision. But what he ends up doing is telling them, like Travis said earlier, you guys are both going to be the best man. I'm going to have best men at this wedding.
That just seems like the norm. I don't know. I know you said it's not the normal. It's not the normal thing, but it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal. And it seems like the right choice from the beginning. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done from the beginning.
I think the wedding lineup has gotten a lot looser in the last 30 years than it did back then. I think especially back
that's
then,
fair.
It was very like, all right, we're going to have one best man, one best woman, and then we're going to have this many people. Like, and now it's just like, whatever, just bring some friends along.
And in fairness, they were also talking about like white gloves on waiters earlier, which is very, but, and then again, also in fairness, me, myself and my wife had a very non-traditional wedding. So maybe I just don't really consider it that big of a deal, but
yeah. So after the scene, probably after a commercial break too, we come back and we are now in Stephanie's classroom. So this is going to be the first day where she has these glasses in the new room.
Right.
Her teacher like tells everyone to take out their books. It's silent reading time. And Stephanie like doesn't take out her glasses at first. And her teacher actually has to tell her, hey, Stephanie, you should use those new glasses that you got. And then this is where Stephanie kind of remembers, or I guess she'd already planned it, but
she planned this.
This advice that Urkel gave her, that you got to laugh with them. So she takes out first glasses that have like slinky springs on them, where like the eyeballs pop out of it to get everyone to laugh along with her.
Yeah, there's like dangly eyeglasses.
And it's a hit, of course. Everyone's laughing. So,
oh yeah, roll.
One for one. And then she tries to get the class laughing along with her, and the teacher calls Stephanie to her desk. Did we get other glasses too at this point?
We do. So we get like one of those like giant oversized pair of glasses. And then when the teacher calls her to her desk, she puts on the backwards glasses, like glasses
on the back of her head, right?
Right. As she's walking to the class or to the desk.
So some sort of meeting with her and her teacher. We don't really know exactly what happens. I think it goes to commercial, like as she gets up to the desk, but it seems like she's in trouble, right?
Right.
So from here, we go back to the house. I've got a sneeze coming on. I feel it's coming.
Get it.
Michelle is searching the couch, trying to find more money for her piggy bank. She pulls out a coin. All right, a nickel. And she pulls out something else. All right, a Cheeto. And then she eats the Cheeto. That's a pretty memorable part for me for some reason, that scene.
But, that was funny.
Then while she's hunting for change, she hears that sound outside. And of course, it is the ice cream man. She's very excited. She knows she has all this money, but it is now stuck inside of her piggy bank and she has no way of getting it out. She flips it up upside down, tries shaking it out, but she is unable to get the money out of it.
So I understand she's a child and she doesn't understand how things work, but this piggy bank looks like it had just a plug at the bottom of it.
I mean, it had to because DJ got all the money out of it.
Well, I guess that's true as well, because I feel like a long time ago they used to have piggy banks so you actually had
break
to
break open. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and I don't think this is the case.
Well, it's not, because DJ...
You made a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, you made a very good point. DJ had to have gotten her money out.
So she doesn't want to save this money anymore. She wants to use it. DJ comes down, sees what's going on, tells Michelle, and also Joey at this point too, because Joey's excited for the ice cream and he comes running in the room, that there's fudgesicles in the freezer. And then you get, like, I think you get the both line, the same line from both of them, like, but it's not the same
because
it's not from the ice cream man.
Ice cream is overpriced anyways.
It's worth it. It's not the same.
Is it worth it?
Yeah. I'll pay $2.50 for a Choco Taco.
For a Choco. Yeah, but you can just get a box of Choco Tacos.
Yeah, but I don't have a box in my freezer.
That's fair. It's true.
And I'll never buy a box. Like, that's not something I just go buy a box of. But if the ice cream man comes, Choco Taco, getting one.
Choco Taco. I also like the, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ones.
Do you remember when Taco Bell sold Choco Tacos for like a year?
Yeah,
it wasn't very long.
No, it was longer than that. It was definitely longer than a year. Yeah, for sure.
They should go.
My wife sometimes still asks if they have Choco Tacos. And I have to remind her that they haven't had Choco Tacos for like 7 years.
It's like Cinnamon Twist, and that's it.
Oh, I know. That's what my child eats for dinner when we get Taco Bell. Cinnamon Twist and nacho cheese.
No, what about the cheese roll-up, no?
I mean, sure, we get him other things.
He won't eat the cheese roll-up, though?
He'll bite. It's like a couple bites, and then it's just nacho cheese and Cinnamon Twist.
So back to the show. So from here, Joey goes to see Stephanie in her room, and she is actually has like a piece of notebook paper, and she's writing, "I will not disrupt the class," over and over again. So that was her punishment from the teacher, we find out.
Right. And Joey's the right person to have this conversation with her, obviously, because he is the comedian. And she tells him that she stole all of his glasses to be the funny one so the kids wouldn't pick on her.
And then she also tells him it's locked in the teacher's desk. You can get it back at the end of the school year.
Right. That was a good one. And then he breaks it down pretty quickly and says, "Well, what did they say?" And she's like, "Nothing." And he's like, "So they didn't actually make fun of you?" She's like, no, they didn't.
Yep. And Joey kind of tells her too, like, kids are just going to be cruel. I mean, that's what kids do. She thinks that they would have teased her if she hadn't gotten called up by the class, I guess, by the teacher. But Joey and Stephanie at this point look in the mirror together. He kind of reminds her that she's a beautiful girl, and she feels better. And that's kind of the end of the episode there.
Yeah, that's really it. I mean, he kind of just convinces her everything is good.
So, like we said, go ahead.
I liked this episode. I just want to reiterate. I love crossovers. Like, it's one of my favorite things. Crossovers, guest appearances, things like that. Love them. I think they're great. I get really nervous though when you've got two like really strong characters or like groups of characters getting together. It's just going to be like a bunch of throwaway stuff. I really like how they use Steve in this episode. I really thought he was funny. My only complaint about this episode is Julie. I refuse to believe that Steve has any family member that is that normal. And I feel like Julie should have been more crazy.
Okay.
That's it.
Question. Other crossovers in TGIF. I mean, I know the one that I think of is Steve Urkel rides his rocket pack out of the end of the episode of Family Matters and lands in the backyard of the Step by Step house.
I think that is probably the most well-known.
And then I don't know if it's the same episode or another episode of Step by Step, but I remember like Steve Urkel doing like the Urkel dance on a rooftop somewhere, I think in Step by Step.
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
We'll get there in like 7 years.
Well, probably not. Probably sooner than that.
Sooner than that.
I think the other big one, I know that he's on an episode of, or he's at least mentioned, I think. I think he's mentioned on an episode of Boy Meets World.
Okay.
And then I think the other big crossover event is the where Salem from Sabrina
yeah.
goes into like all the different episodes.
Oh, okay. And yeah, and that that episode with the Rocket Pack and Step by Step, I think that's the very first episode of Step by Step. I think that's how the show starts.
Oh, is it?
Is like,
okay.
No one knows anything about Step by Step, and then Steve Urkel kind of ends an episode of Family Matters and then starts off Step by Step by landing in their backyard.
Well, I know, yeah, like I know that the episodes are right there.
I think that's how the entire show starts, though, if I'm not wrong. We'll see.
Step by Step starts like 92, I think.
Yeah, we're soon.
Yeah, it's soon.
Cool. So, like we said earlier, the other thing that happened this week in TGIF was the New Kids on the Block Wildest Dreams special live from MGM, Disney, and what is it? You said it's 2 hours or hour and a half long?
Hour. Did you not watch it?
I watched it, but I know all the commercials were cut out. It was on YouTube
it's
and
an
stuff.
Hour.
So just an hour. Okay. So I don't know. Do we just kind of go through it? I mean, it's a combination like concert footage dream sequence show. So
yeah,
it so starts off, there's a bus, right? They show some scenes of the bus, and then we see it arrive at Disney. New Kids in the Block, this is not a cartoon or anything. They're getting out of the bus. And they're all kind of talking about dreams that they had and dreams of like what they want to do later in life. I didn't write down who each one was, but we talk about that later. But they're talking about like, I want to be in movies. I want to play basketball. I want to do stunts. I just want to be healthy. I just want to sing and dance the rest of my career. And then they're like, well, you know what, guys? If it's going to happen anywhere, this is the perfect place. This is where dreams come true. We're at Disney.
And then what I'm saying, I think Donnie, I'm not going to be able to, I'm going to have so much trouble with these names. With the bad boy, the Wahlberg, he's like, I could be Mickey Mouse right now if I wanted to.
That's Donnie.
Is that Donnie?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Donnie.
All right. So it does put times up on the screen as different things are happening. And the first thing is like 1:00 PM. I didn't write down the first one.
1:14 PM.
Yeah. And it starts off, there's like some shots of setting up the stage, the crew's all getting the stage ready in the middle of the street, Disney. And then we get our first like dream sequence of this episode. And these are all parallel to what they said in the very beginning of the episode.
Exactly.
Like what they wanted to do, what they wanted to be. And Joey McIntyre is up first. And he talked about how he just dreams of being in song and dance for the rest of his life.
He just wants to sing and dance forever. And so he gets to do that.
Yeah. And each one of these little like dream sequences like line up with one of the New Kids on the Block songs. So this first one is the song Please Don't Go Girl. And it starts off with like Joey and he's like singing and dancing in the streets. And
it's like a Fred Astaire movie. He's like dancing on the back, like the city back lot at Disney, at MGM.
Yeah. Joey's in a tux and there's like a girl following him around. And then this girl like disappears and comes back out and it goes into another song. It goes into like a instrumental version of You Got It, The Right Stuff. And then, you know.
This was probably the most boring of all five.
Yeah, it probably was. And then it goes back into Please Don't Go Girl, which is the song that the scene dream started in. And that's kind of his clip. And then it goes, you get shots of a bunch of fans coming into the streets. It's 4:34 PM.
That one clip where it's all the security guards locked arm in arm, like a huge holding back the crowd. I was like, my God.
Yeah. I thought that was the shot from the Capitol a couple weeks ago at first.
Really? Yeah, really. Except that there weren't that many people holding them back.
Yeah. Not as many Confederate flags and Nazi symbols either.
True. Very true.
So 4:34 p.m. There's shots. Now we're seeing Jordan Knight. He's in his, dressing room.
He's in
his
dressing
room. Shooting like laundry into a laundry basket, like dreaming of playing basketball. And his dream.
And they've got this like, it sounds like he's listening to a game and you think that they're talking about like Michael Jordan because they keep saying Jordan scores, Jordan does this. But it's obviously also like Jordan Knight who is hearing this and thinking it's, you know, himself.
Yep, and he goes into this dream sequence of playing one-on-one basketball with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Kareem Abdul is actually in this this special, and he's playing one-on-one with Jordan Knight, and Jordan Knight looks like he can actually play basketball.
I'm sure Jordan Knight can play basketball. And Jordan Knight, his dream was to play one-on-one against one of the greats. And I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like 7 foot a million, but even standing next to Jordan Knight, he looks like he's got 2 feet on Jordan Knight. He is so tall.
Yeah, and the song for this little clip is the New Kids on the Block song, Step by Step. And then at the end of the clip, and they play like four quarters of basketball. I forgot what the final score is, but they're scoring like 70, 90 points or something crazy.
Jordan wins, though. Jordan takes it.
Yep, Jordan takes the victory, and now we are at 7:28 p.m., I think.
That is correct.
It now shows Danny Wood, I think is his last name. And
that is right.
He's in the dressing room, and he is arm wrestling? This is that guy, right?
That's Biscuit. He's arm wrestling Biscuit.
From the cartoon. I guess he's also their like security guard, right?
That's my assumption.
Okay. So his dream sequence, of course, like we talked about in the beginning of the episode, he just wants to stay strong and stay healthy. And that's his dream sequence. He's on a beach. He's a lifeguard. He's sitting in a lifeguard stand. He's reading muscle and fitness magazines. And he's just looking all over the beach in his binoculars.
And there's just women everywhere with bikinis. And what I really appreciated about this fantasy is that his fantasy is to be strong and fit, but he doesn't work out. I mean, we get into some feats of strength, but he doesn't do any like actual working out at all in this fantasy.
But so he's looking in his binoculars. He sees this girl and this super buff dude on the beach. And then the song too on this part is Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. But we then go to Danny challenging Mr. Olympia. He's got the sash on him and everything. In different, like Travis said, feats of strength. They do an arm wrestling battle, they do weightlifting, and it's kind of ridiculous.
It is. And so this is an actual Mr. Olympia. Lee Haney is the guy's name. And he's huge. I mean, he's massive. He's a big dude. Like Mr. Olympia would have to be. What drove me nuts about this fantasy and the whole like feats of strength is they never declare a winner. Like we don't know who wins. Even like the arm wrestling, we don't know who wins the arm wrestling. It's funny.
Yeah, but Danny's pretty ripped too, though.
He is. Even you could tell, like when they're walking around the streets at the very beginning, it's like, I want to be fit. You look at him and he's a buff dude. He's a big dude.
Oh, and I'll mention too, like I was like Shazamming the songs to like write down the names of what they were, because I don't know all the names of the songs, but a lot of these were CNC Music Factory remixes of New Kids on the Block songs.
Oh, huh. That's cool.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. So yeah, like Travis said, we don't know who wins the arm wrestling. We don't know who wins the weightlifting. And then he comes out of his dream sequence. He gets woken up by some girl bringing him his sunglasses.
Do you think that there was some agreement with Mr. Olympia where he's like, look, I'll do it, but we can't have me lose. So we'll just not show who wins.
Yeah, maybe. Like, who knows? So it's 8 p.m. now in the special, and this is the concert time. The MC of the whole thing intros out New Kids on the Block. They come out, and this is actually like live concert footage from this performance in Disney.
Right, exactly.
So they do a few songs. They do Call It What You Want, and then they go into Valentine Girl. And Valentine Girl is the setup for...
It's so funny hearing you say all the names of these songs.
Valentine Girl is the song that lines up with Jordan Knight's dream sequence.
No, Jonathan.
I wrote Jonathan. I don't know why I said Jordan. Do we already have Jordan?
We already had Jordan.
Jonathan Knight, who is the brother of Jordan Knight, and he's got his thing is he wants to be a movie star, right?
Correct.
And the name of this movie, like his dream sequence is actually like him acting in a movie, and the name of the movie is Valentine Girl, which is the New Kids on the Block song, and it starts off, they're in a car, they pull up to a gas station, he's with some other girl, and the girl is actually a famous actress, right?
Yeah, she is from, I thought I wrote
Head of the Class. She's
but she is from Head of the Class, right. She is from Head of the Class. And the thing about this sequence is we don't know at first that he's filming a movie. It seems like he's just kind of like in this 50s lifestyle.
So her name is Christine Hage, I think is how it's pronounced.
That's it. Yep. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly, but that is the woman's name.
Yep, yeah. She's the redhead girl from Head of the Class. And she's acting with Jonathan in the scene. And they get to a point where they're like, there's another girl that like tries to say hi to him. And then he's like, oh, hey. And like, what's her face? Christine gets all jealous of him and they're sitting down on a bench. And he like is supposed to say he's sorry to her for something. And then like the director cuts and he's like, you didn't say it quite right. And they make him do it 112 times till they get it right.
It's kind of obnoxious. Like this scene devolves really quickly into being like, when is this going to be over? This is awful.
Yeah, because I say 112, but they probably did it 15 times, maybe more than that. I don't know. More.
It felt like more
cut,
than that.
It felt like
we watched all 100.
Sorry. It's like, oh, that was it. Let's try it one more time. And then eventually, like, he's apologizing to the director. And he's like, that's the one. Print it. And then that's the end of their little clip.
This was a really annoying scene.
So the band goes back to the concert. They do the song My Favorite Girl. And a big fist pumping song here. Like the all of the new kids are straight up fist pumping. It just reminds me of Jersey Shore.
And this song or In Hanging Tough?
This song. They that's the performance. They're like all just on stage, like in a line, just like in sync, doing like this fist pumping. Yep. So I also put some notes in here too. Jordan Knight can hit some high notes for sure.
I mean, these guys are talented.
Not all of them.
Okay.
I think there's maybe.
Look, Steve,
two and a half with talent.
I'm not here to defend the quality of New Kids on the Block. That's not my place in life.
All right. So after the commercial break, then they do Hangin' Tough. And this is also where we go into the dream of Donnie Wahlberg. And his dream is to be a stuntman. And they kind of throw him into like, is this Universal or where's the Indiana Jones?
No, this is MGM. So you like Universal has the Waterworld stunt show. At MGM, they've got the Indiana Jones stunt show. So this is like a set that exists and is used every day for the stunt show.
So you can, that's still like running the Indiana Jones stunt show?
I have no idea. Okay. It definitely was a thing back then. I know that. I don't know if it's.
I've seen Waterworld like, not in person, but like.
Yeah. The Waterworld stunt show has been at Universal for at least 20 years. I saw it when I was a kid and I saw it when I was there 2 years ago and it's the exact same show. So maybe Indiana Jones is still there and they haven't changed it, but it definitely was there back in the day.
So yeah, Donnie is in the Indiana Jones stunt show. He's Indiana Jones and he kind of just does like what the actor or stuntman would have done in the show that was showing the crowd. But like, it's kind of like more like him in a movie type thing. But he walks up, the spikes come out of the ground, he's dodging all of them. Then he goes like up the little mountain and some like statues fall and he dodges those. And then he gets to the top and he does that classic Indiana Jones scene where he like takes the little like, I don't know, skull thing and switches it with the bag.
An idol.
Yeah. And as he does that, it sets off the trigger and that's where the big boulder falls down. Funny line here too where... Donnie actually says, what am I doing this for? This looks like Millie Vanilli, the idol. Did you catch that?
I missed that.
And then that's good. Then this giant boulder, like in Indiana Jones in the stunt show, if you've seen it before, rolls down the mountain and eventually he ducks where it, I think it rolls over top of him and he pops out the other side, but that's kind of where the dream sequence ends.
No way that's not where it ends.
No? Oh,
There's a whole other scene.
So that's where this part ends, but then it like teleports him to outside, right?
Well, yeah, but it's the second part of the
stunt show.
Which is the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark where Indiana Jones is fighting the big Nazi mechanic around the plane, and that's what this scene recreates.
Yep. So he's got a girl that's with him. They're trying to steal this plane at first, but then like the big dude comes out. They have the fight scene. The plane's like spinning around, shooting guns. They're dodging that. They're fighting, and then a couple of the other new kids are in his dream sequence, right?
Yeah. So Jonathan shows up as a Nazi and shoots at him with a machine gun. And at the very end, the woman, when he goes to like get with the woman in the plane, it's actually Danny.
Yeah.
My guess is that the other two were also in there somewhere, but the version that we watched was so blurry we just couldn't tell.
Oh, maybe. But
I'm guessing that all five were in this scene. But we couldn't tell.
So it goes back to the performance. They end the song Hanging Tough. You get a commercial break. You come back. All the band leaves the song. That was like their last song of the performance. But then when we come back, it's 10:07. It's encore time. The band does the song Games. And then during this, like all of the concert footage, it's mixed in with like behind the scenes filming of this special.
Yeah, like them getting their makeup and just practicing and things like that.
Yep. And then that's it. I mean, it ends with that song, into the footage, and then that's the end of the New Kids.
That is not the end of it.
What did I miss?
That is not the end of it. They all are back on the bus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
And they're talking about how much they, you know, how, yeah, these fantasies are great and all, but they would not give it up to not be new. They'd rather be New Kids on the Block than live out these fantasies. That's way much better. It's way better being a New Kid on the Block. And then it cuts to the front.
The big payoff.
And the bus driver is Freddy Krueger. No, that's not different movie. It is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is now the bus driver for New Kids on the Block. Not quite sure how that fits into the theme. Maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's fantasy is to be a bus driver. I don't know. And I can't imagine it would be, because why, if you're 7 foot a million, would you want to drive a bus for a living? But there he is.
I wish it was Freddy Krueger.
That would have been better. And that would have been totally on brand for like relevancy at the time.
All right, so we're not going to rank the episodes this week. Instead, we're going to rank the New Kids on the Block, our favorite new kid all the way into our least favorite new kid.
Oh, my God. I can barely keep telling them apart when I have to.
I've been thinking about this for the last 2 hours, so I'm ready to go.
I want to hear you first, because I got to say, I was not prepared for this.
Number one, Jordan Knight. He had a solo career. He can hit the high
notes. We're basing this on total pat, not just this.
Whatever you want to base it on. These are your favorite new kids.
Fair enough. So Jordan Knight, number one.
Number two, Donnie Wahlberg, mainly because eventually in life he ends up with Jenny McCarthy.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Did you watch Singled Out growing up?
I did, but I...
Number three is Joey McIntyre. Possibly the most talented, very close with Jordan Knight. Those are the top two for sure as far as talent level goes. And Joey is normally chosen as a favorite. That's why I dropped him down, because he's not my favorite. Number four.
I lost track of what number you were.
Number four, number five. These could easily be switched around, but I've got, what are their names? Joe and Jonathan. Is that who I've left?
Danny and Jonathan.
Danny at number four, I guess. Jonathan, couldn't even pick him out of a lineup. Number five.
Okay. So number one, I am going to agree with Jordan. I think Jordan Knight is the total package. I think he is clearly the number one. Number two, I'm gonna disagree here, and I'm gonna put Jonathan. Whoa. No, not Jonathan.
Donnie.
No, what's the other one?
Danny? The one that was on the beach?
No, Joey. Joey McIntyre.
Oh, Joey McIntyre. Okay.
Joey McIntyre at number two. Okay. I like Joey. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he's talented. I like him. Three, I'll go ahead and go with Donnie.
He's been in a lot of movies. He's an actor.
He's had a really successful career outside of New Kids on the Block.
You're not a Jenny McCarthy fan, but that's okay.
Is he involved with the hamburgers at all? Is he part of Wahlburgers?
Wahlburgers? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I've never had one, but there's always a line.
Oh, you didn't have? Oh, mean Gordon had them. That's right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they're good, but people seem to like them. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Jonathan at four.
Okay.
And Danny at five. But again, I could care less about either of those two guys.
You putting Jonathan a little higher because you feel bad for him because he's usually like in Jordan's shadow and everything?
I literally have to look up both of their names every time I see them to remember who they are. And I'm sorry, guys. I know that you're probably listening to this thinking
you can also base it on their dream too. I mean, whose dream did you feel more for? The like being healthy dream or the being a movie star theme? And you also hated that movie star scene.
But that wasn't his fault. That was the director's fault. I'm gonna say Jonathan four, Danny five.
I mean, he could have told the director, "I want to be an astronaut and not want to be in movies."
I know for a fact that if we have to watch another New Kids on the Block thing, which I think we will, I'm still gonna have to look up both of their names again to remember who they are. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I know that we are not. I know they're far more popular than we are. possibly even today, maybe. But I still
not Jonathan.
You think they were more popular than Jonathan?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, that's it. We're done.
They're never coming on our podcast now. But
well, I've already reached that point that I know that's not going to happen. So
maybe Joey McIntyre or Jordan Knight will make an appearance since we spoke highly of them.
Next week on the show, normal run or what do we got going on?
What is going on next week? I don't think it's normal, but I think it's close. No, it's normal. It's a normal week. So Full House season 4, episode 17, Family Matters season 2, episode 17, Perfect Strangers season 6, episode 16, Going Places season 1, episode 15. We don't have it. We'll piece together some.
That's supposed to be when they move or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what that's. We gotta really try to see if we can at least figure out.
I don't know if they move or they talk about moving next episode, but it's definitely brought up.
We'll gotta figure that out.
All right, follow us on all social media at TGIFcast. Like, subscribe, do all that stuff. Comment,
share
everything that you can on the pod, wherever you get your podcast from, on YouTube, anywhere. If you want to send us an email, we have an email address too. You can send us your own version of the theme song or any questions you have, tgifcast@gmail.com. And thanks once again to Drew for the theme song this week.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. And Jonathan or Danny, if you guys are listening and want to do a version of the theme song, we'll gladly put it on, maybe help bump up.
Yeah, and if you just want to defend yourself too and say, I'm not the worst new kid, I mean, you can come on and do that.
We would gladly host a New Kids on the Block roundtable where you all fight for who you think within yourselves who is the best, and we'll mediate. We'll
do you think any of them be like, yeah, I know I wasn't the best?
I mean, I don't see how you like.
No one thinks Jonathan's the best.
Right. Here's what I'm trying to say. There's no way Jonathan and Danny can look at all five.
There's people that probably have Danny as their favorite new kid.
Danny?
It's kind of like people. There's some people out there that think Chris Kirkpatrick is the best NSYNC member.
There's not a single person on the planet that thinks that. Not a single person on the planet that thinks that.
There's a couple.
There's literally a good argument for the other four members of NSYNC and not a single good argument for Chris Kirkpatrick.
Lance Bass?
Lance Bass is like a television
host. He's a gay icon now too.
He is. And he's like wants to go to space. Like, yeah. Lance Bass has got a lot going on.
All right. Maybe there's no Chris Kirkpatrick fans out there.
My point is that there's no way Danny and Jonathan can look at all five of them and think that any way that they were the best. Like, they've got to admit that Jordan, at least Jordan, is above them.
Jonathan might be like, I was the best actor at least, though. Or what's his face?
You want to say that when Donnie Wahlberg's in the room?
No, good point. And what about Danny saying, I was the most athletic or I was the most in shape?
Danny, I mean, he could say that, and that's probably true.
Probably true.
But I bet
we're
you
saying
that,
we're saying overall member.
Yeah, total package.
Hey, we're not a New Kids on the Block podcast. We're a TGIF podcast.
And we're certainly not a New Kids on the Block flaming podcast. We're not here to like talk badly about them, except for that's what we've been doing for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, that's part of our show too. We rank whatever was going on.
That's fair. I do think we have more New Kids on the Block to watch at some point,
though. Yeah.
I do. I think there's another special they do.
Didn't they only have one album, or do they have more than that?
I don't know, man. I think they have more than that.
I guess they played for 2 hours and 7 minutes on this special.
Why do you think? Oh, because they had the timer,
yeah.
The clock.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary.
Well, the encore started at 10:07. So they probably played for like 2:10, 2:12.
I bet you they put on a good show, man. I bet you back in the day, they still put on shows. They still tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tour them in the Backstreet Boys. They tour all the time.
Next week on the show, we're ranking our favorite Backstreet Boys.
I don't even know if I know all the Backstreet Boys. I saw there's an article.
Nick Carter, number one.
There's a big fall.
Brian, number two. Backstreet Boys. Kevin, number three.
I think Brian's.
Or no, AJ three, Kevin four, and then I can't even remember the fifth ones.
No, isn't there one that, who's the host of the wasn't one of them a host of a show now? Or am I thinking of?
You're thinking NSYNC. Of either NSYNC or 98 Degrees.
Oh,
Nick Lachey hosts some shows.
America's Best Dance Crew? Who's that?
ABDC? That's Nick Lachey.
Is that Nick Lachey? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're not a boy band podcast.
But we could be.
Could be. Definitely could be. All right.
All right, man. Anything else, dude?
Nope.
Have a good week.
You got it, dude.
Be a podcast.